After Ignatius had studied the decor, he said to Dorian,
"The only functional item in here is that phonograph, and that is obviously being misused. This is a room with no soul."
He snorted loudly, in part over the room and in part over the fact that no one in the room had even noticed him, even though he complimented the decor as well as a neon sign would have. The participants in the kickoff rally seemed much more concerned about their own private fates this evening than they were about the fate of the world.
"I notice that no one in this whitened sepulchre of a room has so much as even looked at us. They haven't even nodded to their host, whose liquor they are consuming, and whose year-round air conditioning they are taxing with all of those overpowering colognes. I feel rather like an observer at a catfight."
"Don't worry about them. They've been simply dying for a good party for months. Come, you must see the decoration that I've made." He took Ignatius over to the mantelpiece and showed him a bud vase containing one red, one white, and one blue rose. "Isn't that wild? It's better than all that tacky crepe paper. I did buy some crepe paper, but nothing that I could do with it satisfied me."
"That is a floral abortion,"
Ignatius commented irritably and tapped the vase with his cutlass.
"Dyed flowers are unnatural and perverse, and I suspect obscene also. I can see that I'm going to have my hands full with you people."
"Oh, talk, talk, talk," Dorian moaned. "Then let's go into the kitchen. I want you to meet the ladies' auxiliary."
"Is that true? An auxiliary?"
Ignatius asked greedily.
"Well, I must compliment you upon your foresightedness."
They entered the kitchen, where, except for two young men who were having an emotional argument in a corner, all was quiet. Seated at a table were three women drinking from beer cans. They regarded Ignatius squarely. The one who was crushing a beer can in her hand stopped and tossed the can into a potted plant next to the sink. "Girls," Dorian said. The three beer girls raised a raucous Bronx cheer. "This is Ignatius Riley, a new face."
"Put it there, fat,"
the girl who had been crushing the can said. She grabbed Ignatius's paw and worked it over as if it too were a prospect for crushing.
"Oh my God!"
Ignatius screamed. "That's Frida," Dorian explained. "And they're Betty and Liz."
"How do you do?"
Ignatius said, slipping his hands into the pockets of his smock to prevent any further handshaking.
"I'm sure that you'll be of invaluable help to our cause."
"Where did you pick him up?"
Frida asked Dorian, while her two companions studied Ignatius and nudged each other.
"Mr. Green and I met through my mother,"
Ignatius answered grandly for Dorian.
"No kidding," Frida said. "Your mother must be a very interesting person."
"Hardly,"
Ignatius replied.
"Well, grab yourself a beer, Tubby,"
Frida said.
"I wish we had it in bottles. Betty here could open you one with her teeth. She's got teeth like an iron claw."
Betty made an obscene gesture at Frida.
"And one of these days she's gonna get them all knocked down her fucking throat."